welcome. My name is Anita Fabiola, and I'm so excited to be back with yet another exciting episode of the Fabiola Podcast. Now, today is a very, 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 very special day for me because I've been wanting and meaning to meet this amazing woman for the longest time, but her schedule, trust me, did not permit for that to happen. But I'm so excited because she's a woman that works with so much class. She's an on-air media personality. She is a relationship therapist. She's a motivational speaker. She is someone that everyone is seeking out. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I first met you years ago, 2014.
Must have been 2014.
Yes, I think 2014. Yeah. And I was so little.
And you're so hyped up.
Yeah,
so
I was
so
little.
You, you seemed like a girl that had the wildest dreams ever.
Yeah, like I was doing this dating show, Be My Date. Some of you might remember it. And she came on as a coach because that's who she is. She's here to teach us. She's here to guide us through. And yeah, she was teaching some of the people I had on the show how to be better boyfriends, how to date better, and girlfriends. And it was so entertaining. And it was so exciting. And a few months ago, we were still together NBS, where I work right now. And she came on still to give us a couple of words to talk to us about dating and relationships. Now you're here with me to talk to me about the same thing. And I'm so excited.
On my
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm really, really proud to have you here. Yeah.
So many people dream, but they never come to realize it.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. How did you realize that, hey, I think I'm good at helping people out of their distress? I'm good at telling people how to sort of live better lives and live with more purpose and, just be happier in general.
Now, I have two stories when it comes to that.
It was quite a tormenting period, and I remember there's a time that my mother threw in the towel and said, you know what, I am done and I'm walking away from this. And I remember there's this particular time, there's this, you know how they will call for pastors and people to come and mediate.
And
so this time I was seated behind the church, and they didn't realize that I was behind the church, and they were speaking, they were in the middle. And my mother was speaking about all these things that have happened from the time she got married to the time where she is. And I remember crying in my heart, and I was like, I never want another woman to go through this, and I do not want to ever go through this. Mm-hmm. So I, at that moment, something was birthed within me. It was an anger. Never a girl child never to be in a place where they are dependent on someone, and not really dependent, because you can depend on someone who is reliable, but there is depending on someone who is not reliable at all. I longed for a time where there was equality in relationship, where there's respect, where there is love, where there is friendship, where there is acceptance. I set out on a journey to research. How do I, if I ever get into a relationship, how do I get into a relationship and make it work and make it last? And make it a permanent relationship without a broken home once again, because I did not want this to follow me. Because I was like, if I start on a broken family again, my siblings are going to do the same. Mm-hmm. The moment they see me in a good relationship and a good marriage, then they will see the same and they will long. So I went on a journey to research. I plunged deeper, I read, I did everything that a young girl could do. Mm-hmm. And eventually, at that young age, people would come to me
for advice.
For advice, even my teachers, even school, fellow students. Mm-hmm. And they would come, I think there is a way I had this listening ear, and people felt so comfortable with me. So they would come, even when I did not have any words to tell them, I'll tell them, you know what, you have a decision to make, and whichever decision you make, you're going
to
be all right.
You.
Yeah, it's up to you, but you are going to turn out all right. For some reason, people used to come back to me and tell me, oh, what you told me actually worked. What you told me, I feel much better. I feel like, so, and that time I had not even discovered who I was. So I went on to even do IT at Makerere. And while everyone was graduating, I didn't know why I was graduating, because I didn't see myself seated doing hardware and software.
Yeah.
So I go into the world of business and take time to actually rediscover myself, because I didn't know that a person can do this for a living. Mm-hmm. I had not seen anyone do it.
Doing it for
Because that's the time I did not have YouTube. I did not have Google. I did not have a phone.
No TED Talks to watch.
I didn't know that this could be a full career.
Yeah.
So I went into business, and then after business, I followed my heart, re-enrolled into school after a very rough patch of my life, because I have to look for school fees, my siblings have to go to school, my mom is a home, you know, a housewife. By then they had broken up, so she's on by herself.
Yeah, did
and
you go on to
leave
herself. With your mom?
Yes, somewhere? I did. I stayed with my mom, but I got wings of independence very early because then I knew I had to fend for my family.
Yeah. Did all the siblings move on to live with your mom, or some
yes,
stayed with
we
your
all
dad?
Stayed with our mom. And it was clear that, you know, there's something that we really didn't understand from the other side, on my dad's side. Yeah. Even when right now I can sit on a round table and clearly tell him that, you know what, no, what you did was not right. Wrong, yeah. It was really wrong. Mm-hmm. But that was then. I had to discover myself, follow my heart after a very rough patch, because I also had to go through my own experience. Remember, I talked about a broken family. Now I went through a broken relationship of my own.
How old were you when you went through that?
That should have been around 22.
22. No, so you that were should still have at been campus.
Around 22. I was done with IT. Yes. Yeah. Now I go through my heartbreak of my own.
Was
and that
is
the
your
same.
First love, where you felt like I'm going to be with this
And surprising,
person
people have never had this story. Yeah. This is the first time I'm mentioning about it. But I'm talking about the journey of self-discovery, because some of these things push you to a place of no return. Mm-hmm. And that's why you make the boldest of decisions and say, you know what, I'm not looking back again. I'm making these decisions and I'm moving forward. I'm earning my money and I'm going to be better. And then you find yourself better. After going through whatever I went through, coupled with my brokenness from my family. Yeah. And
what happened in that relationship?
I don't want to open up the whole thing, because you will laugh your heart out.
I need to laugh. Listen, relationships are funny, especially I realize when you're young. Mm. And you're so energetic, you're so excited, and you feel like this is my Prince Charming.
And you know, it wasn't a heartbreak like someone had dumped me and did not want to be with me. This was someone that really wanted to be with me, but the family came in. Mm-hmm. And they decided that, you know what, that's not the woman we want for you. We want a different tribe and we want a different kind of woman. So I really felt like, you know what, I was rejected. You know how you feel rejected and someone is telling you they cannot fight for you?
Yeah.
And funny enough,
you're young, you can't really take
He's my husband right now.
Oh my God. Wow. So you went through a period of just, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah, and definitely. So
discovering yourself.
Discovering myself, going back to school and just doing my thing. And I saw myself climb after you asked how I started. That is how I started. I followed my heart, re-enrolled back into school, did guidance and counseling. Okay. After doing guidance and counseling, I did a master's that is in positive psychology and human relationships. Mm-hmm. So after doing that, I promised myself I'm going to start my private practice, even when I had not seen anyone do that.
So at that point, you didn't have any role models that you were trying to emulate?
No, at that time, I didn't have any local role models, people to look up to and say, she's done this, so I must walk into that. No, I think I was a pathfinder. I started my own path.
Because I really don't know anyone who's doing what you're doing.
No, I started my own path. And I'm so glad there's so many people that are coming into my footsteps. I look at their works and I'm like, wow, maybe if I had sat down and folded my hands and did not do anything about it, no one would have ever discovered that this is a career and this is something that someone can do with a lot of passion. So that's how I discovered that, you know what, helping people need a hand and they need someone with authority, because in as much as I'm not really a conventional counselor who will now sit down with you and give you tissue and say, oh, boo-boo, oh, sorry. I don't do that. Yeah. I will help you dig in. I will help you discover the truth. Mm-hmm. It will be harsh. It will be hard. I will put salt onto your injury or onto your wound. But again, you will come back thanking me, or you will be glad that your eyes were opened and you were able to make a better decision.
Yeah. During your education, when you were studying, maybe the master's or the guidance and counseling course that you did. Did that also help you with your healing?
Actually, you know, when you're in school, and I know there's so many lecturers that will watch this and students that will watch this. Yeah. When you're in school, there is a way it's shallow. They don't dig deep. They teach you to pass
basic things.
My journey of actual healing was to accept that this had happened. I just learned it the hard way by doing my own reading and taking my time to actually accept it has happened. If I had to move on, if I had to reach higher grounds, then I had to know that there is a next level. This was a first phase, and now the first phase is finished, and growth brings pain. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a silver lining of success to it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, I'm going to grab onto the next level. Mm. And that's the boldness, the braveness that I got to actually get out of there.
And with that comes a lot of success.
A lot of success. Yeah. And actually, when you're in that place, it's so easy. Some of us, you know, think by sleeping on the graveyard or crying over spilled milk and doing all those things are things that are going to cause the other person to be merciful, to come back to you. I mean, someone has to see that you're a human being, you have a destiny of your own, you have your own purpose, you have your own schedule and programs, and you cannot be stopped. Mm-hmm. You're going.
Now, speaking to that little broken child, you know, most times we address the girl because we feel like maybe she's the most vulnerable yeah. coming out of a broken home or mm-hmm. coming out of a broken relationship.
Yeah.
What about the broken man? How does he even recognize that he's broken?
No, that's the issue. It even goes deeper. Mm-hmm. Because with a girl, with us ladies, we have ways of expressing ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can cry, we can wail, we can shout, we can refuse to eat, we can do all those things. We are expressive. But for a boy that has grown up in a home where they're being told a boy does not cry, a boy does not whine, a boy does, you know, does not complain. So they grow up being macho boys and they want to bring this macho-ness into life. But it's okay for a guy to break down and know that, you know what I went through was not okay. These were people, these were parents that were supposed to take care of me, that were supposed to engulf me in their loving embrace. Mm-hmm. But these are the ones that chose to fight and I was the grass that was trampled. And I'm not the one who brought this to myself. Now, if you admit to that and seek help, because so many people that are coming from broken homes, there is a vicious cycle of brokenness. Mm-hmm. They will get into relationships and break them themselves. They will self-sabotage. Why? Because they did not heal. They did not mourn. They did not cry. They did not find someone who was bold enough to tell them it's okay. You can cry your heart out. You can ask for help. Yeah. It's okay to be weak yeah. as a man.
But how do you recognize the self-sabotage in a relationship now, or in your personal friendship?
That's where the problem comes. Yeah. We realize that we're self-sabotaging after we have broken certain things. Mm-hmm. After we've gone to a point, I'll not say point of no return, but after we have broken the things that we love the most. We are supposed to love ourselves the most. Mm-hmm. But when we work against ourselves, that is the hardest thing to come back from. Mm-hmm. Now, that is where we find someone bandaging themselves with alcohol, bandaging themselves with multiple sexual partners, bandaging themselves with extramarital affairs. That's why we have people who have specialized in childhood trauma. Mm. Just to dig out those things so you can see the traces, how it's affecting the rest of your life from childhood. And when someone, it's an aha moment, when someone gets to that, it's like, okay, I actually didn't see that happening. Yeah. I didn't see that I'm self-sabotaging every relationship. The root is somewhere. And if I don't deal with the core, then I am not dealing with anything here. And it's going to be one failed relationship upon another.
But doesn't that sort of promote the victim mentality where someone is always the victim? No, I went through this, so that's why I'm this way.
If you do that, then you're the one that really had that you victimize yourself, then you have a problem. So if you discover that this is where my pain is, this is where it comes from, it's not about you throwing the sentence everywhere. You know, I come from a broken family, that is why I'm like this. You come from a broken family so that you can live a better life, learn from your mistakes and rectify whatever you need to rectify, because these are the people that every small thing that happens, I'm gone. I don't like this. I want to be independent. Why? Because it's coming from somewhere. You are raised by a single mother, so you think the best thing for you is to be single, even when you have a partner and be alone, because you saw someone do that, so you think it's an okay thing. So yours is not to be a victim. Yours is to actually triumph from the problems from the trauma that you come from. Because then what's success? Mm. It's supposed to be progress. You go from something, admit that this is what is happening, admit that I'm going in for multiple relationships because my father had a village, women, 18 of them.
Yeah.
So even after I've graduated, I have a doctorate, I still have the tendencies, village tendencies from my, so I have to admit that this is the problem. Then you're clearly a fool.
I'm not even
a victim, but a fool.
So you're not really progressing with the times, you're not learning anything.
You're stunted. Yeah. And today morning, I was actually speaking to men, and not speaking to them from a bad angle, but as a warning. Most of them, when you're a man and you suppress all the things and you never accept and never learn from the things, that's why you see so many men self-sabotaging, and we're seeing a regime of so many single mothers right now. But when you look at those men, when they come to 55 and 60 and 70, they are dying on their deathbeds and there is no child to give them even a glass of water. Mm-hmm. There is no woman to even give them a glass of water, because all the children will go to the woman's side most of the times, because she will embrace them, she will guide them, she will help them, she will go an extra mile, sell her clothes to take them to school, while a man is busy maybe getting another woman and taking them on a date. There are a few men who do those things.
How do we
get
them to see the bigger picture?
That's exactly what I'm trying to shed. Mm. That, you know what, your future, you really have to take care of your gray hair right now because of the so many mistakes that you're making at 30, 35, 40. You're going to pay for those mistakes at 55 and at 60 yeah. when you are no longer strong to actually bounce around and get a 19-year-old and jump onto another bandwagon. You're going to pay for those things, but again, it's going to be so painful. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear a child, oh, your father is on his sick bed and he asks to see you and is like, tell me when he's dead. That's not good. Mm-hmm. But while for the mothers, they will run. They will be like, that woman sold her gomesi. That woman sold her goat. That mm-hmm. woman. And it's a repeated story that we're having in Africa. And something has to change. This story has to change.
It really, really has to change. Mm. Now, I know you listen to crazy stories on a daily basis. I know. You listen to emotional stories. But what is that one story that has really stood out for you and you say, wow, after seeing the growth of maybe the couple or the individual that you are dealing with?
Yeah, there's so many stories that I have followed, but I want to have something that has a happy ending to it, definitely. I think there's this particular, of course no one will know them. This particular couple, they had stayed, I think, for more than 20 years together, and they had all children, about 16, 17, and this lady got two children, and she never gave birth again, but the man still wanted children. So here he goes. And he really loved his wife. So here he goes and tells the wife that, you know what, I think I should get another woman and have children. So before the woman agrees or settles down with the matter,
to even internalize it,
the man goes ahead and gets another girl. Now, after some time, of course, the guy comes and says, you know what, I got another girl and I think he's pregnant. Now hell broke loose. And this lady is, you know what, that very day, she left the home. Remember, she had worked from poverty. She had worked from, you know, she had been there for this man for all this time. But while they were having this conversation, this lady gave him, like, you know, these slow go-aheads of, well, if you, that's what you want. You know how a woman can be, you know that.
So she was not really direct
with him. So after that, you know, hell broke loose and she left the man. And she was so serious about starting her life. She even started a business of her own. She went on with her life and she was so serious. So the guy
how
comes.
How old were the children?
The children were 14, 15, something like that. Yeah, so this man comes really on his knees and he's like, I want my woman back. I don't know. I made a mistake, but I really want my woman back. Now, it took a lot of time to really convince this woman that, you know what, this man really loves you. I know he made a mistake. And the woman said, actually, I did not agree. I did not say yes. And even if I had said yes, I was testing him. I wanted him to know that we had built an empire together and let him stand his ground and fight for me because I'm not the one who refused to give birth. My system just refused. We have two beautiful children.
So we're in this together.
And we are in this together. We have things we've worked and we've done and so many things. So it was a journey to really discover that there are so many things that were happening in this marriage, broken communication and lack of acceptance. You know, when you accept someone when you're with them and then you're not loyal enough, he could have erred, he could have been weak, he could have been pushed into this. You know how friends will tell you, what? You have all these things, so you're going to die and you don't have many children to give your stuff. And family is shouting, church is shouting. You go to...
You need more children.
Yeah, you're in the middle and you're thinking, okay, my woman. And your woman is giving you this she's failed to communicate.
How do we
to be straight
women learn how to communicate our feelings? Because I find that sometimes if you're a bit soft, maybe you're too emotional. So it's like there is no winning.
We have a point where we can win, but the inception and the conception of a relationship really matters. Now, these things of going to for a date and then not and then you bite your fingers and then you ask him about, you talk about movies or you talk about news, current affairs, or you talk about yourself.
So
tell him. But that takes self-awareness. What's your love language? Are you the kind who loves to be touched? And that's when you feel loved. Are you the kind who wants quality time? Are you the kind who loves to be cuddled and then you feel that someone loves you? Because we are communicating so many different languages. And sometimes you come into a relationship without even knowing what your partner really wants. And you've not communicated what you want.
Yeah.
So how are they going to? Are they going to keep second guessing themselves until they guess what your language is? Communicate your language that if you don't give me enough time, then I don't know that you love me. If you don't do housework, if you don't cook with me or wash utensils with me or communicate what it mm-hmm. is. Now, from the inception, remember you're creating a friendship mm-hmm. where it's open. We can speak. I can
about
speak.
Anything.
I have opinion. I have suggestions. And even if we don't do them, but at least hear me out and tell me. Put them down nicely and tell me, no, that will not work. Let's try this and then we can come back to yours if this fails. Mm-hmm. You've put me down, but in a very nice way, a very respectful way. Mm-hmm. Not telling me, women don't have, women usually don't have good ideas.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then someone out tells you the same thing and then you come saying, you know, oh, can you imagine? She told me it was the secretary at our workplace told me to do this and it's really nice. Your woman told you the same thing, but the secretary at your workplace is actually has better ideas than your woman at home. But that's because there is no respect from the beginning. So we go into relationships because we are desperate, or the idea of being loved, not actually.
The idea of being loved.
Yes, we love the idea. We fall in love with the idea of being loved.
Than the love itself. Because we always have these pictures in our mind. Okay.
So while you're talking to him, can you be bold enough? Can you annoy him? Can you play around with him? Can you go to his place unannounced? Can you, as in, do all those things that show that what I want is friendship? Now, the moment you are friends, you realize that then you have a platform. Then you can speak your mind. Then you can tell them what you want. But if you begin a quiet, you know, because Bankuza, you know I'm a good girl, because you know I'm a good girl. That's why you talked about that book, that Why Do Men Fall in Love with Bitches?
Yes, I actually have it. I can't wait for us to talk about it.
It's made quite rounds. And you know, when someone looks at it, of course, there are those who judge the book by its cover.
Yeah.
And then they're like, bitches? No, I don't want a bitch. But
that is bitch.
That is definitely a traditional person who has not gone through
so
the book to understand.
Really love bitches.
Now, the definition of bitch of a bitch
is what we really have to
understand. There are so many men who love rowdy kind of women, and they just don't love homemakers and all that. Because I call it an attraction syndrome. We are all attracted to different things differently. Now, when you talk about a bitch, but in the good sense of a bitch, is someone who is not scared about expressing themselves. Is someone who can play with you. It's so free with you that no one else understands the kind of bond that you have between you.
And they really stand their ground.
Yes. When you want to try something in the bedroom, you can as well be kinky. And if something does not work out, you can bust and laugh at yourself and say, you know what, that didn't work. Can we try something else with the head up or with something? Because you have created a bond that goes beyond that. And that is why people love going to for extramarital affairs sometimes. And these days, women are actually very good at extramarital affairs than even the men, because they taught them the game. So now they're even. You know, they say what a man can do, a woman can do better. It's not a good thing, but this is a generation that has really gone rowdy. So you will find them doing all sorts of nasty things because there is no sense of judgment.
Even with
a side chick, there is no sense of judgment. Whether she wants to pull the tie, she will come putting on a patra and, you know, all her body parts will be, you know, exposed and you. And this man will love it. Meanwhile, when he goes home to his family, he's like, I want a woman who puts on a hijab, you know, who puts on head to toe,
covered up, really nice, and when he goes out, he wants something different.
That's not being yourself.
Yeah.
Why can't you turn your wife or help your wife turn into that woman that you want? Mm-hmm. So the kind of a bitch is someone who is independent, go-getter, loves herself, respects herself, has her own, does things at her own pace. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the man, not really playing catch-up, but there's a way you become an attraction, you know? Someone feels, I want to be with her, I want to go with her, I want to do this with her. Why? Because you have a mind of your own. You're not a yes person.
Mm-hmm. But then, taking you back a little bit, when it comes to expression, freedom of expression, and how, you know, we're really empowered lately as women, as girls, and we're allowed to, you know, speak, dress the way we want. How do we draw the line? Say what you want. And
now, I will say that there is nothing like finding balance. There is nothing like finding balance or finding a perfect fit or a perfect, there's no, but there's harmony with who you are and what you are doing. That's what I usually say. For as long as you know that you're not hurting someone, for as long as you know you're not disrespecting someone, for as long as, and we usually know, when you do something bad, you can tell that you're doing something bad. Even when you are really stuck on doing it, you know that you're doing something bad. For example, if you're cheating on someone, you definitely know, you know there's that urge. You know there are people who really have strong urges and they're like, you know what, I must try. You know men, how they speak, you know, I saw the other, the body, oh, she has this nice, oh, she has that nice.